This is an interview with Chris Ligo for the Youngstown State University Northeast Ohio Legal Services Project by James Callan at Warren, Ohio on May 8, 1992 at 1:10 p.m. Chris, could you describe your background, where you were born, where you grew up?
I was born in Bezetta Township at home on July 19th, 1952, on a farm. My father was an electrician and my mother was a school teacher. And I grew up with two working parents. And I grew up as the last of four children. My nearest sibling is 9 years older, so I grew up fairly independently.
Where did you go to school?
Okay. I attended, elementary school? I went to Bezetta Elementary School and Lakeview High School, Hiram College, and Case Western Reserve University Law School.
How did you become associated with Northeast Ohio Legal Services?
Following my graduation from Hiram College, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I was working as a shoe salesman at Strauss's department store, and I was urged by my then boyfriend to volunteer somewhere. So I contacted Trumbull County Legal Aid Society and asked about volunteering opportunities, and they offered me the position of being a paralegal for an outreach for older persons throughout Trumbull County. And I worked at that position. It was funded for 9 months, and I worked the 9 months in that position, and then I worked for 3 months as a secretary for that office. From there I went to law school, and when I graduated from law school there was an opportunity of a position with Northeast Ohio Legal Services, which had which was the result of a merger between Trumbull County Legal Aid Society and Mahoning County Legal Assistance Association. So I was actually returning to the program that I had worked for previously.
What was Trumbull County Legal Aid Society like when you worked there?
It was a very small operation which took mostly divorce cases. There was one secretary bookkeeper who was Helen Pajanin, who had been involved with the Legal Aid Society since the start, and I believe it started in about 1969. There was one secretary, and there was, when I came on staff, I was a part of a hiring of two attorneys and myself. Prior to that time, I believe there had been only one attorney at a time in that office, but they had received some additional funding, so we all came on board. It was not a particularly sophisticated office. The library consisted of a set of the Ohio Revised Code, and it looked like a donated set of Ogier that was probably from the law library, as a matter of fact, because they continued to provide a set of Ogier for many years after that, and including updates. So that's probably where they got those books from. There was not a lot of backup. There were obviously no computers. They also had a phone line running in from, it was the Bar Association referral service also ran, and they had a separate phone for that purpose. So it was, the program was still very much linked with the bar, which is how it had originally started. I think that originally it had been a volunteer program and then had gradually gone to being able to hire an attorney at a time. It was located at 303 Mahoning Avenue, which was the old Kinsman House. And when they added the attorneys in that hire, of which I was a part, they had to use one of the other rooms across the hall. We were in what I assumed to be, or assumed to have been, bedrooms. And downstairs in the same building was the, Trumbull County Department or Office of Human Affairs, or Elderly Affairs. And that's where they had gotten the money to hire me into the program. But they were still having a great deal of financial trouble trying to keep everybody on. There was not stable funding. And I think one of the godsends was when the Legal Services Corporation was not only put into effect, which was 74, but actually started dispersing the money in any kind of regular way. I know one of the later problems that they had was resolved by seeking funding from Trumbull County Department of Human Affairs, or I'm sorry, Human Services, which provided a stable source of income.
This is a continuation of the interview of Christine Ligo on May 8, 1992.
I think law school doesn't give you any of the sense of what the human consequences are of law, both of the cases that you're representing and of people's ongoing lives other than in a lawsuit. And of what other alternatives there are other than to be filing lawsuits for people. Also, it's a rather dehumanizing experience. I guess that professors want to instill in you a respect for the law and a respect for the judicial system. But it certainly was the antithesis of my prior education, in which professors were very open to discussions and willing to talk to you at any point after class. Law school was a much more formal, rigid experience. Also, I think the students were much different as well. Many of the students were extremely oriented to the economic side of their future practice. And I'm not sure, but I can't recall anyone being particularly excited about getting into court and vindicating their clients' rights, although I suppose that would have been reaching to be able to think that far ahead. I suppose everybody was sort of on their, just trying to get through the day. But I don't think that law school prepares you well for being a lawyer, that you really do need to have at least a year of internship. That would be one way of assisting private attorneys to get help with their own cases while taking on interns who would, through them, be learning the ins and outs of what to file, where to file, how to get things done. And I think that's how it's done in the Canadian system.
What are the most significant changes that you've seen at Knowles over the time that you've been here, both organizationally and in terms of the legal service that's being delivered?
Well, I suppose organizationally, there's been a change in the management structure. Under the previous director, Robert Clyde, I'm not sure how to describe the management structure, but a lot of the decision making was made through group process, in which the group would come to a consensus on major issues, and the director would act on that consensus. Although for minor issues, the director would act in consultation with one or two of the senior attorneys. Once the new director came on staff in 1990, that structure changed, and I became included in a management team consisting of members of the administrative staff, the associate director, the executive director, and me, which meets on a regular basis to discuss ongoing issues and make or at least discuss larger issues for the group, how to resolve problems. Although certainly day-to-day management is conducted by the executive director. In terms of the cases that are handled, let's see. I think because this staff is composed of a number of attorneys who have a long experience, we are able to handle cases in a remarkably expeditious manner. We can determine over the phone what the issue is, whether it requires any kind of legal intervention, and often resolve issues over the phone. We're able to do quick legal analysis, prepare pleadings very quickly, and I think act remarkably efficiently on legal cases. We've taken or hired a number of attorneys within the last 2 years, and they don't have those advantages, of course, but what they offer is the ability of others on staff to continue working in their areas of expertise while the new attorneys develop expertise of their own.
What changes would you like to see made, or would you have liked to see made over the time that you've been here?
I guess that I would have liked to have been part of the executive process at an earlier time. That I feel I've missed out on some of the growth that I could have had as a part of that process. I've always felt sort of a nagging guilt, I suppose, about our ability to provide fuller services for Ashtabula County, and that although we provide Ashtabula County legal assistance with a grant, that we probably should be providing additional attorney time with them. I guess that I professionally should have broadened the kind of legal work that I do, that it's modestly awkward at this point to be learning the rudiments of housing law and welfare law when those around me are rapidly picking it up. I don't think I would have changed much else. Either that or I've forgotten what I would have changed.
Your husband is also an attorney at Northeast Ohio Legal Services. How's it been working in the same organization?
There was, actually it's gone remarkably easily. At this point we, at least I make a conscious effort not to bring work home. That home time is family time, and that that it's best to avoid any discussion of work at home. We work in two separate offices at this point, so we really don't have a lot of contact with each other. I occasionally consult him on welfare issues. We are part of a joint case review process, but each of us is attorneys and individuals in our own right. We certainly don't rely on or depend on each other for anything in our relationships with other staff members, in the legal work that we do. We do very separate kinds of legal work. We have very distinctly different styles of working on legal issues. My husband is not strongly interested in trial work, and I am. I think our personalities are somewhat different just in the way that we conduct our legal work. There was a time when we were working off the same desk, as a matter of fact, when I returned in 1982 from maternity leave. There had been some office shuffling. My husband had moved into my office, and the program manager had moved into his old office, and the legal assistant had moved into what had been my formerly old office. And when I returned from maternity leave, there was not an office for me to move into. So when I came back, I set up a playpen in my husband's office, and during nap time, he and I worked off of the same desk. And that was, it was awkward and probably not a situation to be repeated. If we had had two desks, it might have been doable. But one desk was a little too tight. I continued to work very much part-time. I think I came in 3 afternoons a week, probably until January of 1983, which is when I had proposed and it had been accepted that I come to the Warren office. The former managing attorney of the Warren office, Tony Nadel, had been appointed as referee to go into the domestic relations court, and I assumed his position here. Although I wasn't made managing attorney of the office for perhaps 2 years.
Could you describe a typical day?
Well, very frequently I have a hearing first thing in the morning, and I generally take the file home the night before and go directly to the hearing, and I may have 1 or 2 hearings. If those are domestic relations hearings, they're usually not particularly stressful. I might do a quick divorce and maybe a motion hearing and be back to the office by, say, 10. While I'm out, I usually take the papers to be filed, any legal pleadings that need to be filed. I also might be doing some checking of old court files for current clients for whom I want to do a little bit of checking on what's already happened in their old case. I might be checking a juvenile court file for whatever might be filed by CSB, or checking with the Child Support Enforcement Agency to see whether child support's been paid. I would then usually come back to the office by maybe 10:30. I then probably attempt to return whatever phone calls I had, attempt to put in order the files from that morning, draft up judgment entries, or get copies of referees' reports out to the client. I then would typically have probably an interview or two in the afternoon, try to prepare for the next day's hearings, as well as answer phone calls from ongoing clients. If it's my phone intake day, if I've been in court in the morning, I'm probably rushing back as quickly as possible to get to the office to answer phones for new client intake. And then putting together the papers that go with the file, the intake form, the disposition form. Usually there's not enough time in the day to complete everything, but that goes with most jobs. With the domestic relations cases, at this point I find that my need for legal research is pretty minimal, that I've kept up well enough on the area of law in general that for individual cases I generally don't have to do much research. For other kinds of cases, I'm usually consulting with other attorneys first, and then I do have to do much more research on those cases.
Have you seen any significant change in the needs that bring clients into the office, the types of problems that they're having?
Actually, no, I don't. Certainly for the domestic relations cases, I mean, obviously the facts change in every case, but those cases are pretty consistent.
Have you seen any change in the level of violence involved in cases?
Actually, I have. There are always extremely violent cases, but I think with some clients, they're coming in earlier in the cycle of violence. That at least for some clients, word has gotten to them that there is an alternative. They don't need to be beaten. They don't need to stay with an abuser. And they're getting out at an earlier stage. For some of our domestic violence petitions, the petition may say, you know, there's only been one incident in which, you know, the client was slapped or thrown against the wall, received a black eye. That's not to say that there aren't clients who receive broken bones and, you know, end up getting shot at, or shot, or stabbed. But for some clients, they're coming in earlier in the process. They're not waiting. And that I imagine is a result of the media, that there has been, in terms of docudramas and in the newspapers, a lot on the issue of domestic violence. And I think people are much more aware of their options, the options that there are. Those are not always great sometimes, but they are aware of them, and they're much more willing. Sometimes, you know, some clients are much more willing to act on those options.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think's important or that you would like to talk about?
Not for purposes of this conversation.
Thank you.